ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება. ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება.
This is the listening part of the teacher's national certification test in English. You will be given two tasks and you will be able to listen to each text twice. You will be given some time before and after the tasks as well. Please do the tasks while listening.
Listening task 1. You will hear an interview with a stress therapist, Dr. Catherine Odell, and a university student, David Brown, about how stress can affect the lives of university students. For questions 1 to 12, fill in the gaps with one or two words. You now have 45 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. In the last issue of Maintaining Good Health, we featured an interview with stress therapist Dr. Catherine Odell and university student David Brown. They talked about how stress can affect the lives of university students. In this issue, Dr. Odell and David share ideas on how to cope with and control stress.
David, let's talk about the issues that have caused stress in your life.
Okay. Well, handing in my assignments late has been the biggest source of stress. Being late for classes has been a problem, too.
Now that you've identified these problems, what do you think is causing them?
I think that there are two main causes. First, I'm very disorganized. That is, I just don't manage my time very well. I try to do too many things simultaneously, and as a result, I end up doing nothing at all. Second, I always put off my work. I often wait until it's too late to start writing or studying. As for being late for my classes so often, well, because I'm behind with my studies, I stay up late trying to complete assignments or catch up on my reading. Often, I don't get to bed until 3 a.m., and then I oversleep in the morning.
What do you think is the best way to remedy the situation?
First, I need to be more organized and budget my time better. This semester, I've created a timetable for myself. I've scheduled my entire day from morning till evening. I really think this will help me a lot. Second, I need to think more about my priorities in life. Right now, my studies are more important than my part-time job.
Excellent. What do you plan to do about your delays and chronic lateness to class?
Well, I think this semester, by planning my time more strategically, I can overcome my tendency of putting off my work. If I follow my schedule, I'll spend less time watching TV and hanging out at the coffee shop with my friends. I'll get more done during the day, which means I won't have to stay up all night. So getting up the next morning will not be a problem anymore.
It sounds challenging. Do you think you'll be able to make such a big lifestyle change?
It's going to take a lot of willpower and self-discipline, but I know that my life will be better. I'll complete my assignments on time, and I won't be tired in the mornings. In the end, I'll be less stressed out and I'll have fewer health problems.
What about your job? How do you intend to manage all of this and continue to work?
As I mentioned earlier, I need to rethink my priorities and put my studies first. That means my job comes second. I don't want to quit my job, but I need to work fewer hours. This semester, I'm only going to work on weekends, Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoons. It's a pity I won't be able to go out with my friends on Saturday nights, but I'll save more money for my summer holidays. Also, if I get behind with my studies during the week, I will have time to catch up because I won't be working so much.
It sounds like you have everything under control. How is your new schedule working?
I started following my schedule this week, and it'll take some time before I really get used to it, but so far it's been fine. My life isn't completely stress-free now. I still feel stressed out if I miss the bus and get to school a little late, but things are much less stressful than they were last semester.
That's good. And remember, it's not really possible to eliminate stress from our lives completely. The important thing is to not let stress overpower you. Understanding what causes your stress and finding ways to solve the problem are the best things to do.
Now you will hear the recording again.
In the last issue of Maintaining Good Health, we featured an interview with stress therapist Dr. Catherine Odell and university student David Brown. They talked about how stress can affect the lives of university students. In this issue, Dr. Odell and David share ideas on how to cope with and control stress.
David, let's talk about the issues that have caused stress in your life.
Okay. Well, handing in my assignments late has been the biggest source of stress. Being late for classes has been a problem, too.
Now that you've identified these problems, what do you think is causing them?
I think that there are two main causes. First, I'm very disorganized. That is, I just don't manage my time very well. I try to do too many things simultaneously, and as a result, I end up doing nothing at all. Second, I always put off my work. I often wait until it's too late to start writing or studying. As for being late for my classes so often, well, because I'm behind with my studies, I stay up late trying to complete assignments or catch up on my reading. Often, I don't get to bed until 3 a.m., and then I oversleep in the morning.
What do you think is the best way to remedy the situation?
First, I need to be more organized and budget my time better. This semester, I've created a timetable for myself. I've scheduled my entire day from morning till evening. I really think this will help me a lot. Second, I need to think more about my priorities in life. Right now, my studies are more important than my part-time job.
Excellent. What do you plan to do about your delays and chronic lateness to class?
Well, I think this semester, by planning my time more strategically, I can overcome my tendency of putting off my work. If I follow my schedule, I'll spend less time watching TV and hanging out at the coffee shop with my friends. I'll get more done during the day, which means I won't have to stay up all night. So getting up the next morning will not be a problem anymore.
It sounds challenging. Do you think you'll be able to make such a big lifestyle change?
It's going to take a lot of willpower and self-discipline, but I know that my life will be better. I'll complete my assignments on time, and I won't be tired in the mornings. In the end, I'll be less stressed out, and I'll have fewer health problems.
What about your job? How do you intend to manage all of this and continue to work?
As I mentioned earlier, I need to rethink my priorities and put my studies first. That means my job comes second. I don't want to quit my job, but I need to work fewer hours. This semester, I'm only going to work on weekends, Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoons. It's a pity I won't be able to go out with my friends on Saturday nights, but I'll save more money for my summer holidays. Also, if I get behind with my studies during the week, I will have time to catch up because I won't be working so much.
It sounds like you have everything under control. How is your new schedule working?
I started following my schedule this week, and it'll take some time before I really get used to it, but so far, it's been fine. My life isn't completely stress-free now. I still feel stressed out if I miss the bus and get to school a little late, but things are much less stressful than they were last semester.
That's good. And remember, it's not really possible to eliminate stress from our lives completely. The important thing is to not let stress overpower you. Understanding what causes your stress and finding ways to solve the problem are the best things to do. Listening task 2. You will hear 4 people talking about computer games. For questions 1 to 4, choose from the list A to F what each speaker says. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. Speaker 1.
Some children are really addicted to computer games, and they scream in protest the moment you try to switch a game off. We've got to accept the fact that these machines are having a terrible effect on children's standards of education. It's a sad fact that kids just aren't interested in reading these days. They like playing computer games more. They feel they only have to do reading to pass tests. So they just stare at the screen pushing those buttons. They don't have to use their brains or their memory. It's because of these games that illiteracy rates have risen dramatically in recent years.
Speaker 2. One of the things game developers have to worry about is how to prevent games piracy and illegal distribution on the internet. Some companies do their best to make sure that everyone who plays the game is a legitimate user. But in order to play legitimate games, you should have a permanent internet connection. However, this is a problem for some people if their internet connection isn't reliable. So they prefer to buy pirated versions, which don't have all of these restrictions, which is really, really worrying. Speaker 3.
A lot of games are attractive because the virtual world is fairer than the real world. Your success isn't determined by your age, social status, or education. Your peers are loyal, and when you do something good, you are instantly rewarded, so there's a real sense of achievement. What we really need to do is bring some of this positive spirit of working together and achieving goals into the real world. People should stop criticizing these games and start thinking about how we can use these advantages of gaming in our real lives.
Speaker 4. There have been a lot of studies into whether gaming encourages violent behavior, but as far as I know, they haven't been able to come up with any conclusive evidence. What's more, there is also some evidence that most antisocial acts of violence are committed by kids who don't play computer games at all. I think all this fuss about violent games is a bigger problem than the games themselves. It's not fair to hold computer games responsible for all big social issues. Instead, we'd rather deal with the real cause of youth problems, such as home life and mental stability.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Speaker 1.
Some children are really addicted to computer games, and they scream in protest the moment you try to switch a game off. We've got to accept the fact that these machines are having a terrible effect on children's standards of education. It's a sad fact that kids just aren't interested in reading these days. They like playing computer games more. They feel they only have to do reading to pass tests. So they just stare at the screen pushing those buttons. They don't have to use their brains or their memory. it's because of these games that illiteracy rates have risen dramatically in recent years.
Speaker 2. One of the things game developers have to worry about is how to prevent games piracy and illegal distribution on the internet. Some companies do their best to make sure that everyone who plays the game is a legitimate user. But in order to play legitimate games, you should have a permanent internet connection. However, this is a problem for some people if their internet connection isn't reliable. So they prefer to buy pirated versions, which don't have all of these restrictions, which is really, really worrying. Speaker 3.
A lot of games are attractive because the virtual world is fairer than the real world. Your success isn't determined by your age, social status, or education. Your peers are loyal, and when you do something good, you are instantly rewarded, so there's a real sense of achievement. What we really need to do is bring some of this positive spirit of working together and achieving goals into the real world. People should stop criticizing these games and start thinking about how we can use these advantages of gaming in our real lives.
Speaker 4. There have been a lot of studies into whether gaming encourages violent behavior. But as far as I know, they haven't been able to come up with any conclusive evidence. What's more, there is also some evidence that most antisocial acts of violence are committed by kids who don't play computer games at all. I think all this fuss about violent games is a bigger problem than the games themselves. It's not fair to hold computer games responsible for all big social issues. Instead, we'd rather deal with the real cause of youth problems, such as home life and mental stability.
This is the end of the listening part of the test.